Okay, so I'm going to read Miguel and the Grand Harmony for the very first time in public. So if I mess up, please just, you know that I'm new at this. So this, if you don't know, is connected to a movie that's coming out this Thanksgiving called Coco from Pixar. And I will tell you, I was lucky enough to see an early screening of it back when there was just pictures. There wasn't really animation. And the movie is incredible. And it stars a Mexican character. And so that means a lot to me. And they asked me if I would write a picture book that takes place within the universe of the movie. And I was so excited to do it because I've long been a Pixar fan. So this is the book that came out of that. And the last thing I'll tell you is I was thinking a lot about how young people figure out what their dream is, the thing that they're going to be passionate about when they're older. How do they find that thing? And for me, obviously it was writing, but before that it was music as well. I've always loved guitar, but I've always been incredibly shy to play in front of other human beings. So I have a 3.5-year-old daughter. She's the only person I will play in front of. And when she turns 5, it's over, because I think she'll be more conscious of what's happening. So Miguel and the Grand Harmony. Let's see if I could do the pictures. Flipping the pictures, it's a very advanced thing. First comes the sound. A single string plucked or a note blown or beat rapped. And suddenly I am. Where there is music, there is color. And where there is color, there is life. I roam this vibrant city determined to keep the gray at bay. La música, I hear their hearts beckon. We need you. To create a grand harmony, I need them too. Here I am tucked inside the buzz of wedding bells, the band shifting into ballad and every hand linked around the glowing bride and groom. Here I am at a packed Pueblo quinceañera, swaying along with the staticky song as a fresh-faced girl lifts a tiara onto her head. Here I am, huddled over an open cemetery plot, breathing life into the quiet reflections of loved ones and the weeping beauty of a single violin. Today, I fall upon a trio of músicos, tuning their instruments. They laugh from their bellies and wave to passers-by. They shoo away a stray dog. A fourth músico steps to a trash bin holding a busted guitar. She was good to me, he says, until you sat on her, his friend replies. More laughter as the man tosses the ruined instrument and returns to his crate. He thumbs the nylon strings of a new guitar and I ride the rhythms across La Plaza. By sundown, the alleyways are packed with people, and I leap from song to song. On warm nights like this, I am the city, and the city is me. But just as my surge of sound is lifting toward the twilight, an old woman barges out of a shoe shop. "Stop that music," she shouts. "You'll upset Mama Coco." A startled guitar player fumbles for his favorite hat. A trumpeter, hurrying to put away his instrument, knocks over a box of mismatched nails. Before I am sucked back into nothingness, I notice a boy. He holds a broom in one hand, a dustpan in the other, and while everyone else in the shop is busy waving away los músicos, the boy's eyes are glued to the guitars. There is music in his heart. He turns to look at me. He turns to look for me, but I'm already lost into a colorless void. The following morning, I rise with the crowing roosters and race from place to place, but all day my thoughts keep returning to the boy. I abandon a flock of songbirds to follow the thudding paws of a trotting dog. Halfway down the alley, I pause to peer inside the window of the shoe shop, but the boy isn't there. I sigh and watch his family busily making shoes. There's a kind of harmony about their rhythmic work. They are doing what they love. I'm about to retreat into the whistling wind when I hear the faint rustling coming from above. I climb these subtle sounds like a rope up to the roof where I discover a secret attic. Inside, the boy is moving around the antenna of a tiny TV. I redirect his radio waves so that an old musical performance comes in clearly. The boy stares, transfixed. Then he pops a tape into an old VCR and hits record. He picks up his broom and holds it like a guitar, moving his fingers along invisible frets. When the song ends and the crowd begins to cheer, he rewinds back to the music. Miguel, a man calls from below, ya vente a comer. The boy stops the tape and covers the TV and hurries out of the attic for dinner. The following day, I trail him into the plaza where a band of street musicians is performing. Dante, vamos, he calls out to his dog, and the two of them wiggle their way to the front. This close to the music, the boy's face comes alive. He belongs to the sound. But just as I'm about to whisper my name into his ear, his abuelita appears. She shoos away the stray and pulls the boy back through the crowd by his elbow. Mijo, she says, or mijo, stay away from the mariachis, she tells him. I know, but do you want to upset Mama Coco? He shakes his head and follows her back to their shop. Sometimes the whole world can seem like a misplayed note. Sometimes colors fade and smear. I sulk inside a nearby cafe where an old man plucks my sadness on a tired requinto. I remember another boy from long ago. He used to sit alone and write songs long into the night. And when he became a man, he sang lullabies to his baby girl. I'll never forget the bright colors emanating from their eyes. That is why I'm here. I picture the boy from the shoe shop again. La música exists in the hearts of humans. If I can't lead this child to his passion, then what is my purpose? I'm pulled out of my thoughts by the stray dog who's sniffing around the floor by my feet. That's when it occurs to me. I don't have to do this alone. I bend to whisper a new plan into Dante's ear. The next morning is crisp and cloudless and smells of destiny. As soon as Dante senses my presence, he tears the broom out of the boy's hands and takes off. He races through the alley, into the plaza, and up to the trash bin where he barks and howls and paws at the side. Dante, the boy shouts out of breath, what's wrong? And then he sees it, the broken guitar. During his shift at the shoe shop that night, I wrap my arms around a pair of cackling cotorras until the boy comes out to investigate. The birds scurry, but not before the boy has discovered the scattered nails. He slips them into his pocket, sensing he's not alone. Over the next several days, I track a light hammering back up to the attic where the boy is repairing the guitar. When he finally gets it fixed, he flips on the video and maneuvers his fingers like the famous singer. That weekend, the boy sneaks his stringless guitar past the shoe shop and heads for the plaza. He sits on an empty bench beside Dante and dreams of performing for a crowd. It takes all my strength to summon a great gust of wind that whips a músico's hat right off his head. The man gives chase all through the crowded plaza they go until he crashes into the boy. El músico studies the familiar guitar. He studies the boy. Then he reaches into his bag and hands over his last pack of strings. "Play what's in your heart," he says. The boy nods and looks down at the strings. All he can see is his family. Before going to bed that night, he strings his repaired guitar and tunes it and positions his fingers along the fretboard. He glances down at Dante, then looks up at his homemade ofrenda, his heart thump, thump, thumping inside his chest. He takes a deep breath and strums his fingers gently across the nylon strings. The boy doesn't know that in the ring of this first chord, he has become part of a grand harmony. But here it is, in the swirling skies above the attic. And here it is, in the wind whistling past the windows of the shoe shop. And here it is in the warm expression on his Mama Coco's face. One day, these sounds may grow into songs and color the hearts of others, but for now, he's just a boy in an attic with a guitar, and the air he breathes is alive. Thank you, guys. So I don't know, maybe somebody has a question or something. Does anybody have a question? We could talk about the movie. We could talk about the book. Anything you guys want to know, we could talk about. Yes, sir. Say it. Who's the illustrator? That's a very great question. I have never met this woman, but she worked on the movie. Her name is Anna Ramirez, and actually I'm going to meet her in San Francisco very soon for the first time. I think it's like in 2 weeks. So she's a very talented artist, but this is her first picture book. She did, however, work on the movie. Great question. Sometimes as a writer of a picture book, you meet the illustrator before and you sort of discuss it with them, and many times you don't even have any interaction. Any other questions? Yes. The movie is called Coco. Yeah, and it's by Pixar. And I think it comes out the week of Thanksgiving. And you can see trailers. Yes, sir. Oh, this is a good question. So he asked, how did I see the movie before? Well, Pixar was nice enough to invite me to their campus, which is beautiful. It's in Northern California. And I got this screening, and it was just me and a couple people from Pixar, so I felt very important. And when I watched it, it was, like I said, it was just like single illustrations. There was no animation yet. I guess there were a couple patches of animation. So I just heard the soundtrack and saw pictures. And even with that, I thought the movie was really cool. So I feel kind of lucky I got to see it already. And by the way, I come from a place where guys are not supposed to show emotion, and it had me like on the verge of tears. I mean, I didn't actually cry, but I was close. Any other questions? Well, thank you guys so much for listening to me read for the very first time, Miguel and the Grand Harmony. I appreciate it.